Entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I'm your host, David Pruse. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday is my day of politics, so my guest will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is a pioneer, local legend, nefarious character, wonderful Fairbankson. Friday is all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this planet, this world, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks, give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I'll try to get your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. Please be patient. I will get to them. We are at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And with that, well, he's a pioneer, local legend, and historical figure, John Binkley. How you doing, sir?
Well, good morning, David. I'm doing very well, thanks. And I don't know about local legend, but certainly maybe a local character.
Hey, you were on the Rupp Racing team in 1970.
Well, that's true, yeah. Snow machine. Growing up, we played hockey until we learned about burning gas in the wintertime. Snow machine.
You were the first person who went from Prudhoe Bay down to the bottom of Chile on a motorcycle.
I did, yeah. From Prudhoe Bay to Ushuaia in Tierra del Fuego. I left Prudhoe Bay December 2nd of 1975 on my motorcycle, right in the middle of winter when they were constructing the haul road up to Prudhoe Bay and building the pipeline. And I wanted to be the first one. Instead of waiting for somebody from Argentina or Chile or
Anchorage,
some other place in the world, I wanted to be the first one. So they'd finished the bridge across the Yukon River in, I think, October or November of 75, and that meant you could actually drive all the way to Prudhoe Bay instead of just to the Yukon River. So
there you go.
Out in the middle of winter, and it's a great adventure.
And you just got done with the term. I don't know if you're done yet, but you were the chairman of the Alaska Redistricting Board.
Yeah, another great adventure.
I considered it pain and suffering, but a great adventure is another way to describe it. Okay.
Well, I had a few crashes on my motorcycle, too, on that.
Yeah, we can stitch you up physically, but how's the mental portion going?
Oh, it's great. It was a great experience. And as you said, it's not over. We did complete our initial phase of the work. Mm-hmm. And came up with a final plan last week. And now the public has 30 days to review that, and then if they're so inclined to challenge that in our court system. So that's an important part of the overall process. Because in many of these cases, some of the framework that we have from the Constitution really can be subjective. And so it's good to have the court take a second look at that, and it's always been the case, every redistricting plan since statehood, and I don't have any illusions that this won't be just the same this time around.
So, I was going to say, when was the last time this wasn't court challenged?
Yeah, it was challenged last time, as it has been every time.
Exactly.
Because it's very difficult to do this and not have some people unhappy with the outcome.
And that's
good. That's the right then to challenge that and make sure that it's legal in the eyes of the court and we're within the bounds of our Alaska Constitution and also federal requirements under the Voting Rights Act, too.
You know, it's interesting. I remember texting you. I never talked to you about what you're doing or how you're doing. I just gave you a couple texts saying, thank you for your service. This is something that no matter what you do, someone's going to sue over this, no matter what. So this thank you for your service in doing it.
Well, that's appreciated, David. And it is a lot of work. takes a lot of effort, but it's great. We had a chance to travel around the state to meet with people from Uktiavik near Point Barrow, all the way down to Ketchikan, out to Nome on the west coast, Delta Junction, just numerous places around the state. Meet with Alaskans, get their input.
You did a rural concert tour, man.
Yeah, right. Roadshow.
Yeah, you really did. And that's the thing about it. You came out with a plan. Then you listen to everyone, and everyone, you know, is harping, or everyone has a different idea of what the plan should be. I mean, everyone had a different plan. And then you went back and you edited your plan and you put it out there, and here's the House. And then about 5 days later, here's it matching up with the Senate.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's the process. And it's a good process. It's one of the best processes that we have as far as the state, in my opinion. Most of the states around the country, the legislature themselves does this process. So you have the very people that are affected by the plan making the decisions on how their state gets redistricted and who is in which district. And so it's very, very political in most states.
Yeah. Now, you bring up political. The way everyone is appointed, it's a political process. You know, the governor gets two appointments. The Speaker of the House gets one. The President of the Senate gets one. And the presiding officer of the state Supreme Court gets one.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that changed. There was a constitutional amendment in, I believe it was 1998, that first affected the 2000 redistricting plan.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, from statehood, it was the governor that appointed all five.
Yeah.
So that was a little more political.
You think so? Let Tony Knowles do this.
So that changed. And so then, as you just mentioned, it spreads it out. The governor gets two picks.
Yeah.
The president of the Senate won, the Speaker of the House won, and the presiding officer, the Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court, gets the fifth and final pick.
Who appointed you?
I was appointed by the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, Kathy Geisel.
Okay.
And that was back in, she's not President of the Senate now, but this was back in 2020, August of 2020.
Okay.
And so we've been at this over a year.
Okay.
And then likely with court challenges, it'll take another year at least to probably resolve that.
Exactly. And boy, you know, I was looking at this and everyone had an opinion, John. Everyone had an opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this and I'm not even looking at the maps. And I said to myself, John Binkley knows the interior. He knows interior rural Alaska probably better than anyone. I'm going to trust what he does.
Well, I appreciate that, David. And I was, you know, I do have the fortunate experience of representing Alaskans, both in the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
At that time, Judy and I, my wife, lived in Bethel in western Alaska. We had started a tug and barge business out on the lower Yukon out of St. Mary's in 1977.
I've always classified that as your period of life when you did time.
Yeah, no, we loved it out there. We really did. In 79, we moved to Bethel, and mm-hmm. that's where the kids were born. And while we were living there, went to school there. And then I was on the city council, just like you are in Fairbanks, so mm-hmm. learned the local community,
mm-hmm.
ran the House, was successful there, and got an opportunity to represent, I think there were close to 30 villages in that region, in the Chulister region, that I represented, and then ran for the Senate, and the Senate seat included a vast part of the interior and really went all the way from the Canadian border, wrapped around Fairbanks, and then went over to the Kuskokwim, headwaters of the Kuskokwim, all of the Kuskokwim River drainage, most all of the Yukon River drainage, all the Koyukuk River drainage, took in the west side of Cook Inlet, so from Anchorage you could look across Cook Inlet and see my district, and then the Bering Sea coast from Nunavak Island, the mouth of the Kuskokwim up towards the mouth of the Yukon. So it was
an area the size of Texas.
Well, to be a little more precise, it was the square miles of the state of California and the state of Washington combined. So I don't know how many square miles that is. It was a lot.
Well, let's call it a lot.
74 different villages and communities in that Senate district. So, you know, when traveling around that area, I really got to know the people and the country. I fly my own plane, have since high school, and so it was just a great time in my life. I really got to know people and the interior outside of Fairbanks. And also the western part of Alaska as well.
So you brought that experience to this board.
I did, yeah. All of us, you know, and that's the great thing about the board. We each have different life experiences, and we bring that to the board. And we rely on each other for help in better understanding the areas. I think other board members did for me living in Fairbanks. I did for others that lived in Anchorage, or in one case, Nome. Or in another case, in Juneau. So it helped to have a diversity, a geographic diversity, and different life experiences that we could work together to come up with what we felt ultimately was a fair plan.
There you go. We're going to take a quick commercial break, okay?
You bet.
Fairbanks, we're at 458-TALK, 458-8255, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks Urology is a vasectomy center of excellence and expert care provider for men's health needs. Dr. Tony Nima.
If you're a man considering getting a vasectomy, Fairbanks Urology has a new vasectomy technique. This makes it almost pain-free, less than 15 minutes for the procedure, and way more affordable.
If you have urinary symptoms, you're in good hands with Fairbanks Urology. To learn more and receive a discount on your vasectomy procedure, visit fairbanksurology.com.
Hello, Fairbanks. It's John Scherzer from the Westmark Fairbanks Hotel and Conference Center. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. Let us make it easy on you. Let our team of chefs do all the work. The Westmark is offering Thanksgiving curbside pickup. Delicious roasted carved turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, vegetable medley, rolls, and dessert tarts. All that for $27 per adult and $17 per child inclusive. We also have add-ons of ham, cranberry sauce, and yams. Pickup time is between 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. Call 459-7739 and make your reservation. Reservations will be taken through Monday, November 22nd, unless we sell out early like we did last year. That's curbside Thanksgiving dinner at the Westmark Fairbanks Hotel and Conference Center. Call 459-7739. Again, that number is 459-7739 and make your reservation today.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Cooper and Bridgestone Tires for everything you tow and every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
Daytime highs approaching 3 above today, under cloudy skies with a chance for snow. Northeast winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow again tonight. Lows dip down to about 1 below. Cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 1 above. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 3 degrees above zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio with John Binkley calling in, chairman of the redistricting board. Now, John, a specific question. I'm looking at the Senate seats. Now, do all Senate seats, are they all up for election in 2022, or are they, you know, P&R says 2024 and Q 2022-2630?
Yeah. So on the Senate seat, the process, we first come up with the 40 House seats.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Constitution says of those 40 House seats, you have to pair up 20 of those at 2x2. And the only provision is they have to be contiguous. They have to be touching.
Yeah.
So then we went to the Senate seats, paired all the House seats to come up with 20 Senate seats. And then, of course, the Senate seats are a four-year term versus a two-year term in the House of Representatives. So automatically, every Senate seat, every other Senate seat, excuse me, is up every two-year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So scheduled to be up in 22, 2022, our next election, would have been 10 of those Senate seats. So once we have those Senate pairings, then we have to look at a couple of different things. One is those Senate seats that are what is referred to as truncated. That means since we've changed the boundaries now of all these House seats, which affect the Senate seats, if the populations, the constituents in that senator's district has significantly changed, then we have to have them come back up for re-election because they have new constituents.
Yeah.
And so everybody that's new to being represented by that senator gets a chance to vote on that.
Okay.
So we have to, it doesn't give us a percentage or a number. It's up to us to pick that number. And so we looked at all the percentages blind, not knowing which seats or which a name of a senator were, but just the percentages of changes in each of those 20 Senate seats. And then we picked a line, and it was around 15%. So we said if any of the senator seats have changed less than 15%, so they've got less than 15% new constituents, then they're not truncated. If they've changed more than 85% or less than 85%, then they're the other way around, I think.
Okay. Actually, yeah. If they're 15% or more, they're up for re-election in 2022.
Yes, 15% okay. less, then they're not up for re-election.
Okay.
However, then you overlay that over the existing terms. So some may have less change.
Yeah.
They've had very little change in their constituents, but they would have been up naturally anyhow in 2022. So they'd have to run anyway.
Is there any Senate seats that you don't see? You know, I looked at the map and they're all a little bit different.
Yeah, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that there will be 19 of the 20 Senate seats up for re-election in 2022.
Who's the one that's not?
It's Senator Donnie.
Oh, that's
Olson.
Right. Donnie Olson, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, from the North Slope borough and the Nana region. So, Ukiavik down to Kotzebue, that area.
You know, I had a Representative Mike Kronk on yesterday. And great guy. We were laughing, you know, the size of, you know, his district.
Yeah. And it just got larger.
Yeah. You know, and then I started laughing this morning looking at this going, oh, click Bishop. you got the district 34 or something like that. 35 and 36. 34 and 35 he has. So he's got a pretty good sized, you know, Senate seat there too.
Senator Bishop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think let me just think about this for a second. I think it will be, if I've got this, the numbering right, it will be House District 35 and House District 36.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be Representative Kronk's district and Representative Adam Wohl's district.
Exactly. Yeah.
But geographically, very, very large. All the way down the Yukon River to Holy Cross, all the way up to the Canadian border to Eagle, Tok, of course, and then down the Richardson Highway, down as far as Glen Allen and the Copper River area there, not counting Valdez.
Okay. You know, I looked at what you did here, and you know, District 31, which is Fairbanks, it's where I live. Well, you know, a little bit of changes here and there. District 32 going into which would be District 2, you know, the old District 2, extending that out into North Pole. You know, I could not find any faults with I don't know the other areas, but just what I know, I just couldn't find anything that was, you know, aberrative on this. I thought it was all very concise and it made sense. You're always going to have someone saying, oh, this is bad, oh, this is political, oh, they're targeting this person. But, you know, it got me when you were voting on Anchorage and you had Bud Simpson vote with two other people, you know, for that one, and your Fairbanks one probably got all five, or if not three out of the five, a pretty good vote, I would think.
Yeah, there was consensus on Fairbanks.
Yeah.
I think both on the House side and the Senate side. There were a couple different options, and well, there's a lot of different options.
Once you got everyone had a different option for you.
Yeah, when you get to the Senate pairings, the options are much more limited. So there were really two different ways we could go, because the court system over the years, you have the Constitution, but mm-hmm. you've got interpretations every time we have this redistricting process. So that starts to put some sideboards or some guidelines for us as we do the plan, because we know then not only what the Constitution says, but how it's been interpreted by previous courts. So one of those was that in the city of Fairbanks, to the extent possible, we should have the city of Fairbanks in two House districts and one Senate district.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah. Once you do that, then you kind of have a baseline to start from.
And what you did is you kept the same line of demarcation, which separating the districts, you know, 1 and 2, which is now 31 and 32. And that was basically the Steese Expressway. To the west was one district. To the east was the other. And it's always been that way. And then if it was in the city limits going towards the west, you know, you followed the SLU, which is the city limits demarcation line.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So on the west side, as you said, the north side, the west side, and the south side,
yeah.
we followed city limits, basically.
Yeah.
There was one little extension where the city limits don't quite follow Noyes SLU. They generally do, but then there's one little area around the railroad industrial area that it jogs out. So we just kept with the SLU, the Noyes SLU, as the line of demarcation between that city District 31 and 35, which is on the other side of Noyes SLU.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you said, on the east side for District 31, we use the Steese Expressway, which is a natural
line to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have the Fort Wainwright on one side and this, you know, more of the residential and businesses on the west side.
Yeah. Then you took 32. And, you know, it used to go, which is District 2, which it used to go to basically going out towards Badger to Lacloy Drive as a north-south line. And what you did is, you know, the way you did it, you said, okay, we're extending this out to basically most of Badger Road.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We did a couple there. We moved that out to the east of Badger Road mm-hmm. because some of the testimony – when you look at District 35, which used to be 5, that really wrapped around following the Tanana River in South Van Horn and came up into the Badger Road area, up into the North Pole area. So it kind of looped around from the west side to the east side.
Yeah.
And we heard a lot of testimony that people did not like that they didn't want to see the west side of Fairbanks connected to the east side. Around the Tanana Flat, so to speak.
Hmm.
So we pulled that back around.
Okay.
You know, kind of
yeah. clockwise. And he kept kept Lakeview Terrace in the same district as everyone else there in 35. He kept that intact.
Correct, because we just followed the city limits for 31.
Yeah.
And Lakeview was outside the city limits. So it made sense, really, to just make that. And a part of what we do is, when we're drawing the house districts, here's the three criteria, actually four, but these are the big three, as our attorneys have told us, that we look at first, are compact, contiguous, and socioeconomically integrated. So those are the three things that we really look at.
Yeah.
And then to the extent practicable, that's the word from the Supreme Court, we get those as...
Those are big words.
Or a riverboat pilot.
Yeah.
to get as close to the ideal population, which is 18,335.
John, we're going to take a commercial break here. We're coming into some Fox News, some state news, and we'll be back in a few minutes, okay?
Roger that.
You got it. Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
Problem corner. Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The Capitol Riot participant who stood out with his unique getup, receiving the longest sentence yet Wednesday.
Jacob Chansley, otherwise known as QAnon Shaman, the guy whose picture is always shown when discussing the January 6th protest at the Capitol, with his face painted red, white, and blue and wearing a Viking-esque furry hat with horns, is being sentenced to 41 months in federal prison after pleading guilty to obstructing law enforcement that day.
Fox's Eben Brown. President Biden's chief medical advisor Wednesday urging unvaccinated people to get the jab despite progress being made in curbing COVID.
We have 62 million Americans eligible for vaccines who are still not vaccinated. The data that I show you do not lie. Vaccines protect you, your family, and your community. And importantly, it is not too late.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Minor reports the construction of a new intersection at the nexus of Airport Way, the Steese Expressway, and the Richardson Highway at the entrance of Fort Wainwright will begin next year, according to officials with the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. The Borough Assembly last week essentially took no position on the project, which has been criticized for having an unusual, complicated design. No official position by the Assembly amounts to tacit approval, according to Mindy O'Neill, presiding officer of the Assembly, and the state can move forward on the $20 million project, which is known as GARS, shorthand for Gaffney Road, Airport Way, Richardson Highway, and Steese Expressway Project. A computer rendering shows as many as six lanes across one road with various forks and turnoffs. The design is like no other intersection in the country, according to a report by Fairbanks North Star Borough Transportation Planner Don Galligan. Supporters say it's way cheaper than an overpass and the design is not as complicated as it looks. The goal is to reduce congestion and improve safety.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Great pizza, great ingredients. Here's a great idea. Deep dish pizza. For a limited time at the Great Alaska Pizza Company, enjoy an 8-corner deep dish pizza with any two toppings and a 2-liter for only $21.99. Available for curbside pickup or delivery.
Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, and then the Trax Outdoor Show with Mike Hajdukovic, sponsored by Trax Outdoor Center at 12:30. And later, it's Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
So you know this weekend is our big statewide holiday auction, right? Did you know you could bid on our big ticket items online right now? That's right. Go to AlaskaRadioAuction.com right now and check out all the great holiday deals.
Get out and ride this summer with a 2020 Suzuki Sport Street motorcycle from our friends at Northern Power Sports. This previously owned showroom condition model with only 820 miles on it is the bike for you. This motorcycle is beautiful. Black and white in color, includes licensing and documentation fees. NADA suggested retail value is $5,100. Or check out this 14-karat white gold earring jackets with 0.42 carats of diamonds with a princess cut pink topaz stone from Bishop's Jewelry. Retail value of $1,800.
And you can check out and bid on these items and more right now at AlaskaRadioAuction.com. Then make sure to tune in on Saturday starting at 10 a.m. for over 100 more great deals during our big holiday on-air auction broadcasting statewide. That's AlaskaRadioAuction.com. Powered by Satellite West and Pivotel.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio with John Binkley calling in from Ketchikan? Really?
Yeah.
Remember when that was two time zones over? Just thought I'd bring that up.
Yeah, we used to have... Four time zones in Alaska?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But
yeah, quite the different weather down here. Lots and lots of rain. Our family's involved in building a dock down here, a cruise ship dock and port facility. And so they've put me in charge of that process. And so I've been down here kind of commuting back and forth, working on that.
How is it taking orders from your kids? Sorry.
You know, it's actually great. It's the best thing.
Okay.
Having worked, you know, as you did in a family business.
Oh, yeah.
Up, there's really, it's so, there's got its challenges and struggles, but in the end, there's nothing better. And then to see your kids get involved in the business and eventually take over, and now having an opportunity to come back and help them out, it's wonderful. It's great.
That's great to hear. You know, so let me get this straight. They send you down to a rainforest that has an average of 225 inches of rain a year.
Yeah.
You know, they better get you something good at Christmas, buddy.
Yeah. We had like 5.5 inches of rain in a day.
Yeah.
What we refer to down here is a 5-incher.
Yeah,
we did quite a few of those.
Oh,
that's
my
half goodness. half the annual precipitation of Fairbanks in one day.
Hey, you're in a rainforest. It's not tropical, but you are in a rainforest.
That's right.
Oh my goodness! So let me get this straight. You go from the redistricting board heat into a rainforest.
Yeah. I guess.
Oh, it's great to be John Binkley. But anyway.
So we were talking about the Fairbanks plan. We were talking about really the criteria for us as a board that we have to follow. So we have to look at the district, the House district, being compact, contiguous, socioeconomically integrated,
mm-hmm.
and then to the greatest extent that we can, to the ideal district size, the number of people in that district of 18,335. And that number is determined by taking the total population of Alaska and dividing it by the 40 House seats, so that if every district was exactly the same, they would each have 18,335.
Yeah.
But so when you look at compactness, we were back to talking about the shapes,
mm-hmm.
why we followed particular shapes. So that is something that is a little subjective because, you know, one person can look at a shape and say that's more compact than that shape. And there are some linear expressions of that, but generally that's the test, is how does it look? And that's to keep redistricting boards from reaching out with strange appendages to maybe get an area or a person that might, you know, for political reasons. And so that's why they say it has to be compact. It has to be kind of shaped right.
Remember the donut hole in Anchorage?
Yeah, it was called the Donut District.
Yeah.
It was Jalmar Kurtula. Senator Kurtula had that. And then also Mike Szymanski.
Yeah.
And that wrapped all the way kind of around Anchorage. And then, you know, but it was upheld, as I recall, by the courts when they had that. So it was a strange shape, but, you know.
That's polite. Unique. Whenever I use the term
but
unique,
in Alaska,
yeah.
In Alaska, that happens. We have such tremendous geography and such huge areas that sometimes they are odd shapes. And we don't draw a smooth line. We can only take the census blocks that the U.S. Census Department sends us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a particular shape, and there's over 28,500 of those in Alaska. And we have to assemble those blocks. So that's how the process is. It's not just drawing a line.
Yeah.
It's taking those blocks. Fortunately, a lot of times they align with natural features like the Steese Highway we were just talking about, or the city boundaries. So there's census areas, and then the blocks fit into those. So that's kind of the process.
Or you know, this time you used Blaine Road as a, you know, that separates basically Farmers Loop from the university.
That's
and
correct.
Chena Ridge and Esther, you know. So I looked at that. I said, okay, that makes sense.
That was kind of a natural dividing line. The big controversy, really, in Fairbanks was whether or not we were going to stay together as a borough,
yeah,
or whether we were going to take some people in the borough and send them, I hate to say send them out to
kick them off the island.
Well, that's kind of what it amounts to.
Yeah.
And we've had that the last 10 years because We had too many people in the borough to have exactly five House seats and not enough to have six.
Yeah.
And so we had about 5.5, 5.6 seats last time around. And so they took a lot of the Chena Hot Springs area, Eielson. I'm not sure if Eielson itself was. I think it was, actually.
Yeah, it's with yeah.
Harding, Birch, all of that area, all around the east side, and sent it to the outlying district that, as you mentioned, Mike Kronk represents from Tok.
Yeah.
And so we heard testimony from people, not a lot, but some people that said, hey, you know, we want to be a part of the borough. We want to have our representative that lives in Fairbanks, that we can go to the LIO office locally, meet with them, see them, and be represented by somebody in Fairbanks, not somebody that might live quite a ways away. And when I thought about that, living in Fairbanks, I would want my representative to live there as well. And so I said, yeah. As we looked at it, can we find a way to keep the borough together so that we have five seats within the borough and we're all represented by those five representatives and not somebody from a distance away? And so that's how I initially drew the maps, because Fairbanks lost population over the last 10 years, and particularly in relation to the other areas of the state. So we went from about 5.5 or 5.6 seats in Fairbanks down to 5.2. And so now we are just over five seats. And speaking with our attorney, he felt perfectly comfortable that we could overpopulate each of the five seats slightly to be able and stay within our constitutional mandate to be able to keep everybody together in the borough.
Oh, good. You know,
That didn't work.
Oh, darn.
It created tremendous controversy, because when you overpopulate slightly, that means you're underrepresented.
Yeah.
Because if your district has 18,800 people in it and the district next to it has 18,335, you know, or Anchorage has those or wherever around the state, then you might feel that you're underrepresented because there's slightly more people in your House district than in another House district. So that was very controversial. People kind of had a rallying cry, you know, equal protection, which we have to do under the law, but we're allowed variations, and the attorneys felt comfortable with that. So the borough assembly got involved, and they passed a resolution that said, do not overpopulate our districts. Basically, they said, take 4,000 people, because that's what it equates to out of those five districts, and move them out to an adjacent district outside the borough.
Yeah.
So that was tough to overcome, and I gave that a lot of thought, and in the end, acceded to that. So the borough said, take 4,000, as you put it, move them off the island.
Which group went off the island?
Well, that was the tough part. You know, it would have been great if the assembly had said, okay, and here's the people we want you to...
kick off the island. No, dude, we want you to do our dirty work.
Exactly. Oh, you...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so that's never going to be popular, because who wants to leave? So not leave, but potentially be represented by somebody who lives outside the borough. And so we had to choose, and it was difficult. There had been people on the east side. You know, some of them, I felt maybe it's time to have somebody else that's represented by, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're represented by somebody outside the district.
Mm-hmm.
It may actually mean that Fairbanks has six seats. Somebody from that, if you have a pretty cohesive area that sticks together and they're voting, that's 4,000 people in 18,335 person district that is spread out into many, many small communities, probably none with over 500 people in population. So it could be that Fairbanks gets a sixth seat if the people in that area, and that area that is now in the District 36 is the Goldstream area.
Yeah.
So theoretically, if they stuck together and voted together, they might be able to have a sixth representative from Fairbanks that lived in Goldstream.
Yeah, Goldstream, Murphy Dome, that area.
Yeah.
Himalaya Road. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
And that shape that you see is a census block shape, not a block, but a census area shape made up of a lot of census blocks. So it was just a clean census line. We followed the Alaska Railroad as it came in from Nenana down the, you know, down the valley.
Yeah.
And then and then just basically followed that census, that whole census area.
I had
and
a,
that was about 4,000 people, so it worked out.
I had a friend of mine. She lives out on Chena Hot Springs Road, and she was in the largest one last time. She was in Mike Cronk's district. And she goes, I can't believe they put me in Wasulcha. And I looked at her and I go, well, you're born in Delta, you know. And look where you were last time. She goes, oh, you're right.
Yeah, it's tough, and a lot of people don't like it. And, you know, it's just hard to satisfy everybody. And so that comes with the territory. But the good thing is we paired that. So now Esther and Goldstream, the University, Chena Ridge, all of those areas are paired together in the Senate district. So they'll have the same senator between those areas as well.
Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break, okay?
You bet.
Fairbanks, we'll be back after these messages. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255 with John Binklin. We'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Did you start to feel the pain of your home's bad windows yet? With this year's harsh and wet winter forecast, it's only going to get worse. That's why now is the ideal time for you to take advantage of Renewal by Andersons' Countdown to Black Friday Window Sale. I'm Chris Dunn, the local owner. Our sale is going on now and ends on Black Friday, and it's our biggest offer of the entire year. Buy one window or patio door and get your next one 50% off. Plus, take advantage of one of our Smart Pay programs. Renewal by Andersons Countdown to Black Friday Window Sale ends on Black Friday. Buy one window or patio door and get your next one 50% off. Don't miss Renewal by Andersons Countdown to Black Friday Sale, our biggest offer of the entire year. Call before November 26th, 885-3100, 885-3100. That's 885-3100.
See your world in perfect focus. Every task and moment in your life, reading the fine print, driving safely, gazing into the eyes of a loved one. Your miraculous eyes not only reveal the world around you, they express deep thoughts and feelings as well. Protect them. Call the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your team of ophthalmologists, optometrists, and opticians offering medical and surgical eye care, fashion eyewear, and prescription lenses. Your eye health professionals on Mitty Street. Visit eyeclinicoffairbanks.com.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nenana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Daytime highs approaching 3 above today, under cloudy skies with a chance for snow. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow again tonight. Lows dip down to about 1 below. Cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 1 above tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 3 degrees above zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back. Fairbanks, David Pruse in the studio, and John Binkley calling in from Ketchikan, where it's a nice balmy 82 above, and he's getting suntanned.
Yeah.
I know, yeah, right. Now, you were under your board. You were under a type of situation that probably has not been seen before, nor will after, with COVID shutting down the census or really delaying it from the United States government. And that's where you get your data from.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And, you know, we don't have any flexibility on that. We only take what the Census Bureau gives us.
Yeah.
And that's all by law we're allowed to look at. We can't speculate that they missed some people because of COVID. Look at Eielson and the deployment of the F-35s. This was taken in 2020 when, as they deployed new airmen to Eielson, they couldn't bring their family.
Yeah.
And so they weren't counted. And that, you know, that area is growing dramatically. Same for the Mattsu Valley. That's growing at a very fast rate. And so We don't know if it was accurate, we can't speculate. We can't speculate what future growth is going to be or if the Census Bureau got it wrong or not. We can only take the data that they give us, and that's all we have.
Well, the way I look at it also, in Fairbanks, with here, the area that I know, you did not have a single sitting legislator going against another sitting legislator. You did not do that. You didn't pair anyone up in the interior.
Yeah, we tried to be blind.
Yeah.
David, we didn't put any of that data in our maps. We didn't put any voting histories in our maps, any partisan data in our map. We tried to avoid that.
Yeah.
Some people, you live in a community, where they live. Some people, if they're from Kodiak, they're in Kodiak. They live in Bethel.
Yeah.
You might not know their street address. But
you know where they're at.
Yeah, exactly. So there's some of that that you just can't avoid. But we, all of us really made a sincere effort, all five of us, to really make sure we went out of our way not to get that data.
Yeah.
And to not rely on that. You always get accused of that, and that's understandable, but it certainly wasn't the intent. One of the things that I'm most proud of this, the maps that we've drawn this year, is this will be the first time that, if this map holds through the legal process, that Doyon, our Alaska Regional Corporation under ANCSCA, has had all of their communities together in one district.
Wow.
Since 1971, since the enactment of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act and the creation of the regional corporations, first redistricting was 1980, and that's the plan that I ran under when I was in the House and the Senate,
mm-hmm.
and I represented a lot of Doyon, but not all of the Doyon villages. And then it didn't happen in 1990, 2000, 2010. 2010, they were in five different House districts. And so they made a concerted effort this time to put together their own maps and spend a lot of resources on it, a lot of time and effort to try and show the board how it could be done to keep all of those villages in one House district. And I really applaud their effort, and I'm proud that we all five came together and found a way to do that. And we kept the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation together, NANA together, Bering Strait, Bristol Bay Native Corporation, Aleut Corporation, Cognac down in Kodiak, the Chugach Regional Corporation, Otna, and I believe Cook Inlet, all of their villages are in the same, or in like districts.
Yeah.
District. So I was just very proud of that. Actually, Cook Inlet, we didn't know.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Most people never even took that into consideration or thought of it, but guess what? That's why you're on the board. Great job there. Great job.
Well, it's good. And it's, we have to look at socioeconomic integration. And that's how under the ANCSCA, that's how those regions were formed. And so I felt that was appropriate to look at that. And we worked hard to make that happen. And hopefully the map holds and we can have accomplished that.
You had so many, what gets me about this is there are so many parts of the equation that you have to adhere to.
Yeah.
And getting that done, wow. You ready for a phone? We just lost the phone call.
Sure, please.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We lost him. Maybe he'll call back. Here he is. Okay. Yep, here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with John Binkley, and your name is?
Hey, David. It's Will Steph here in Fairbanks. Hey,
hello, Will.
Chairman Binkley, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thanks. Will, thank you for calling in, and thank you for your testimony, too, in Fairbanks. Appreciate it.
Oh, hey, I'm glad you remembered. Hey, I was curious. One of the things that I noticed that was interesting to me is I noticed that some folks who did give testimony in the initial process in person gave contradictory testimony via the phone later. So I don't know if you folks on the board recognized some of the testimony and some of the contradictory things that they said, but I would be curious if you were able to notice that.
Well, I appreciate that, Will, and there were literally, in the thousands of people that testified, both written testimony, in-person testimony, by the telephone, and I would like to think that maybe they had a change of opinion or looked at it differently you know, as they studied the maps more carefully. But I think there were some people who changed their thoughts on how it should be redistricting or the lines drawn after they had maybe reflected on it.
Cool, thanks.
Will, thank you very much for the phone call, sir. You have a great afternoon. Yeah. You know, the thousands of emails and testimony you had, my goodness. Ready for another phone call?
Yeah. Oh, please. Yeah, you bet.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with John Binkley, chairman of the Redistricting Board, and your name is? Getting a lot of background noise here, sir. You're breaking up, sir, really bad. Okay, I'm in a... There?
Yeah, just a second. I'm trying to fix it.
You fix it. Good job. Now you lost it. Yeah, now we lost him. What the heck? Okay, hopefully he calls back. John, welcome to my life.
Yeah, all kinds of technical.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, that one was not me. I've got so many dials, buttons, you know, switches. Okay, here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hi, my name's Mike. I'm in Fairbanks. I know we ain't got much time left. Maybe Mr. Binkley can comment on why the two members were so upset about the Eagle River line.
Good. And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank
Good
you, sir.
Good question, Mike. Yeah, there was, you know, we had, you know, not unanimous consent, but really it was, we worked very well together up until the very end, and it really came down to two seats, as Mike pointed out, and it was in the kind of the northeast area of Anchorage. And the law tells us that when we create these maps in the Anchorage municipality of Anchorage, there are 16 House seats, and those we have to make compact and contiguous. By law, they are socioeconomically integrated. The law says that all of Anchorage is the same. Now, we know there's neighborhoods in Anchorage and differences in Anchorage, but in the eyes of the law, there's just Anchorage. And there's not an Eagle River seat. There's not a Muldoon seat. There's not a Sand Lake seat. There's not any of these individual seats. There's just 16 House seats and 8 Senate seats. And so when we created the House seats, some people view there's two House seats in the northeast part of Anchorage. And people call those the Eagle River seats, but they're really not. They're just two of the 16 House seats. And we didn't pair those two together. We paired one half of that, which was kind of the northern limit up against Cook Inlet, wraps all the way around and goes up to the Mat-Su borough, with the district on J-Bear, which is Joint Base Elmendorf and Richardson, so with the military base. And then we...
We got about a minute left, John.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's where the controversy came over. Some people felt that they should have kept all the Eagle River people together in one Senate seat, and we felt, the majority felt, that they should. It was a military community, a lot of people, and part of it should be joined with the military base, and that's what we did. So okay. That's the controversy, and it may be litigated, may not. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, hey, I so appreciate your time and being able to talk about this and explain to Fairbanks the process, how you did it, the thoughts, the philosophies. Boy, are we fortunate to have you available for this. Really appreciate it, sir.
Well, I appreciate it. Always happy to answer any questions if people have them. Just send an email to the redistricting office. And, you know, I've answered as many as I can, even some of the testimony that came in. Unsolicited, I'd email back and try and explain or expand on what some of the process was. So it's been really a pleasure, David, and a great opportunity really to better explain to people the whole process and how it works.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
Okay, take care. Yep. Bye-bye.
News and conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks. K248 DK 97.5 FM Fairbanks. The heartbeat of Alaska.